Welcome to St. Louis on the Air. I'm Don Marsh. Garrison Keillor may be gone from St. Louis Public Radio on Saturday evenings, but he is hardly forgotten, not after some four decades as host of the Prairie Home Companion. He may have retired from the radio show, but he's writing and performing around the country. He brings a special brand of storytelling talent, humor, wit, and wisdom to St. Louis Saturday evening at the Fox with his one-man show, An Evening with Garrison Keillor, just passing through. Garrison Keillor joins us by phone. So nice to have you with us. Thanks for joining us.
Thanks for having me. It sounds like I won't need to take charge of the police department there in St. Louis. You got yourself a good man.
We have ourselves a very good man. We also have some problems, but he seems to be well-positioned and well-backgrounded to take on the task. You'll be safe.
I'm a man who runs away from problems. I run away to a safe place, and then I write about them at a distance. So I'm not your man.
Well, we're looking forward to seeing you here on Saturday night. And tell us a little bit about your show. Is it going to be kind of like a Prairie Home Companion, or are you going out in a different direction?
Well, it's just me, myself. So I walk out on stage, and I sing something just to make sure I can. And I get the audience to sing My Country 'Tis of Thee. And if they sound good on that, then we sing a couple of others. And that's very moving, to have an audience singing in 2-3-4-part harmony. And then I launch into, where do I go? I don't know. I just go someplace comfortable. I talk about being 75, which is a great age. And I'm there by the good graces of a lot of nerdy people who studied organic chemistry and came up with blood thinners and all of those wonderful things we have nowadays. And I talk about what I've learned. I'm the only public speaker who does the conclusions first at the beginning of the speech, and then I go on to talk about irrelevant things like, you know, youth and my hometown, Lake Wobegon, and what it was like to grow up there amongst very poor role models and Norwegian bachelor farmers and that sort of person. So we do that, and I talk about my last trip to back home, which was to the funeral of a classmate who was the first girl I ever seriously necked with, and that's a story that moves me. And I hope it moves an audience.
Well, I'm sure it does. You know, I've been reading your newspaper columns with great interest recently, and you're making fairly frequent references to your age, the 75 years old, and now with what you've just told me about going back home for a funeral, all of us of a certain age are going through a lot of that these days. Are you thinking a lot about your own mortality these days?
I'm trying not to. I don't find any real reason to. You know, I'm in the hands of very smart people who did well in science, and so I have I've gotten to know my lady urologist better than I was planning to. But you know, these things all work out, and you do what you have to do. I stopped smoking back in 82, about 9 years ago, I figured I'd had my share of alcohol, and I could leave it to other people, and those are, you know, fairly intelligent things to do when you get to a certain age.
A lot of our doctors insist that we do those things.
Yeah. Well, it's very easy to stop drinking so long as you don't drink. You know, that's the whole thing. It's just you just do it. You just do it one day, and then you don't do it anymore.
You know, I mentioned your columns and how much I enjoy reading them. One recent column you wrote: "I look back on my life and I see failure after failure." And I think a lot of people reading that would say, what the heck is he talking about? This guy's been a success for more than four decades.
No, I do. I think that it starts out when you're a kid and you have this very big idea for yourself. You want to be a writer. You want to support yourself as a writer. But even more than that, you want to be as good as the people you admire. A.J. Liebling, I admired, and John Cheever, and John Updike, and Flannery, Charles Portis, and Tennessee Williams. And you fail. You fail in each case. You give yourself an impossible model, and you fall short. And you just have to accept it. That's all. You come to a point in life, and I'm at that point where your ambition is completely gone. When big reviews and prizes and all of that. And you just do it for the fun of it. You make this great discovery that the work you've been doing all your life is meant to be enjoyable, and you have a good time out on stage. I didn't for the first 30 years because I was worried, what people might think. And now, as long as they are laughing and I don't hear the jingle of car keys, I'm fine out there.
Do you miss the other show, the Prairie Home Companion, at all?
I don't miss running it. I don't miss managing it. I was not a good manager because I don't have any social skills. But I miss singing duets with women. Was a high point. And I got to act a little. I got to be a private eye and a cowboy. And as a cowboy, I got to spit and I got to yodel. And, you never get over being able to do those things. I'm not allowed to do them at home, but I got to do them on the radio.
You're not allowed to spit at home?
No. I live in a home with a piano. We have a high standard of gentility.
After all your years in radio, what do you think the future of that medium is?
People still want the same thing I wanted when I was a kid. I wanted to listen to the radio and feel that they were talking to me. And you can have people peddling political conspiracy theories. You can have preachers. You can have jazz, late night jazz guys. You can have comedians, but you want to feel that they're talking to you, and that it's not homogenized, highly produced thing. It's meant for you, and they have you in mind. I don't get that from TV. I get it from radio, and so I think we have a future.
It seems to be going in a specific direction. One of the big things today and certainly growing in the future are the podcasts. And that's a little bit different than radio. It's the same but different. They talk about pre-production and that sort of thing. People can listen to anything they want, anytime they want. It's different. It's changing.
They have no appeal for me. I'm sorry. I'm completely alien. I can't imagine sitting down and listening to something other than something that's live, as you and I are right now. I would be using the fast forward button the whole time. It's lost on me. I'm sorry.
I'm looking at some people now whose eyes may very well be rolling because this is the future. I think many people would agree to that, and particularly with the younger generation that is now, moving so solidly into this particular medium.
Well, I wish them well. I'm not going to be part of it, but I hope they have fun doing it.
I think they are having fun. Let me go back to your columns again, because I think that you're having fun writing these columns because you are unencumbered by anything. You have been downright vicious when it comes to the political scene today. You're having fun doing that, I suspect.
Well, the last column was vicious, but what I was doing was I was doing a very good imitation of the president's tweets. And I had a whole long list of his insults, and I was trying to work as many of his insults into one column and apply them to him. And so it was vicious, but it was an imitation. And I got a lot of letters from his supporters who wondered how I could be so cruel. And they did not get that it was a parody, and a very good one, I might say.
Well, I think so. I think the title of it was Donald Trump is Done. At least that's the title I saw. Maybe the various, it's in syndication, maybe some of the various publications gave it a different headline.
I said in the first paragraph that after the indictments came down from Mr. Mueller that Donald Trump called me on the phone, and he was weeping and begging me to endorse him. And I said, but you're already president. And he said, I want you to endorse. I mean, people could tell from the first paragraph that this was satire, but some people don't get it.
Yeah. You have always been a student of the human condition. At least that's my interpretation of what I've read and know of you. Where are we going, do you think? And again, I'm not talking about Donald Trump necessarily, but as a country, you travel the country, you talk to people. Where the heck are we going?
Well, the more the changes, the more is the same. I was in New York visiting friends on Halloween, and it was a few hours after this man from Uzbekistan ran down bicyclists in lower Manhattan with his truck and killed 8 people. And Halloween still went on in New York in a spirit of defiance. And we're walking on the Upper West Side. We're walking along West 90th Street, and the street was blocked off by cops, and it was full of kids dressed up as superheroes and princesses and zombies and parents pushing kids in strollers and candy, and brownstones decorated for Halloween with spooky things and enormous spiders climbing up the facade of buildings and jack-o'-lanterns and a spook house. And it was Halloween, like it was Halloween back in Minnesota, back in the mid 1950s. It was beautiful. The crazy man on the highway got all the headlines, and I understand that. But life goes on, and the same things are true that always were. We brought up our children to be parents, and they love being parents, and so there's hope for us.
We have a little bit more than a minute left. New Yorkers pride themselves on their resilience. They're having a big marathon race coming up this weekend. But do you think they're really any different than the rest of us?
New Yorkers, are they different? No, no. For one thing, they are the rest of us. I mean, you know, a lot of people from the Midwest and from Missouri who find themselves in New York for some reason. No, I think the whole country is very resilient. You know, we still believe in the same old thing, that all men are created equal by their creator and given inalienable rights to life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And there it is. You know, anybody can memorize that and hold on to it. It's true.
Well, you talk, and again, time is running out, but you talk about Midwestern, the life in the Midwest. I talked to the comedian Kathleen Madigan the other day, and she says she travels a lot, 250 performances a year all over the country. She says she finds a lot of people don't even know where the Midwest is. You wouldn't agree with that, would you?
That's okay. If they don't know where it is, then we would rather they didn't come there.
What's next for you, Garrison Keillor? Is you going to continue doing this sort of thing?
This sort of thing? I guess so. It's the sort of thing I do. I'm working on a screenplay for a Lake Wobegon movie. I want to make a movie about a little town and have it be somewhat true to life. And I'm working on a collection of my limericks. I discovered that I've been writing limericks all my life, and I have hundreds of them, and some are not bad.
Well, we'll look forward to seeing all of these projects come to fruition, and look forward to seeing you here on Saturday night at the Fox with your one-man show, An Evening with Garrison Keillor, just passing through. Thank you for being with us, sir.
Thank you, Mr. Marsh.
Nice to talk to you. Tomorrow on St. Louis on the Air, we'll have a behind-the-headlines discussion about the pros and cons of Proposition P that would levy a half-cent sales tax to raise funds for the police and firefighters in St. Louis. We'll also take a look at this year's St. Louis International Film Festival. Archive versions of past St. Louis on the Air programs available for download or podcast at stlpublicradio.org/stlonair. St. Louis on the Air is a production of St. Louis Public Radio 90.7 KWMU. Thank you for listening. I'm Don Marsh.